Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazenia. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now. Please join Father Cedric's message already in progress.
And one of the things that the Spirit did didn't just take away my fear and my insecurity at first, but the Spirit is a spirit. You know, one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is fortitude. That's the gift of courage. And what the Spirit did is, the Spirit helped me to, first of all, face my fears, not run from them. You know, because I get nervous in front of all this and all the cameras and everything, but I don't run anymore. And the second thing I found out is, you know what? So what if I drop the ball? You know, I'll live through it. I'm human, just like other people. Other people have dropped the ball. Sometimes I'm not always the best when I preach. And you know what? I can still live with myself. And I can still love myself and still respect myself, even if I don't perform the best. See, the world sets us up for this thing called the performance acceptance syndrome. If you're the best, if you perform, if you're first rate, then you can accept yourself. But the Spirit comes, pushes all that aside, and says, I love you just the way you are. And you can accept yourself, not because you're the best center fielder, or the best preacher, or the best mother, or the best student, or the best father, but because you belong to me. And I have to tell you something. This has revolutionized my life. You have to understand something. I'm a baby boomer, a late baby boomer. The people my age, I'm not going to tell you what that is. Actually, no, I'm 50 years old. The people my age, the late baby boomers, at least my generation, are trying to find themselves, get this, through all kinds of different things. We're talking about identity now and loving yourself and accepting yourself. People my age are trying to find themselves through their education, where they go to school, through their money, through their relationships, through what they own, through what they drive, where they live. And what they're doing is they're trying to find out who they are through the things of the world. And I started that way. And what I discovered is you can never know who you are until, get this, you can never know who you are. And this is what we do. We search for identity. We try to figure out who we are through our bodies, through relationships, through material goods, and we ask the world to tell us, who am I? Well, we can never figure that out, because sometimes people like us, other people don't. Then who are you? You can never know who you are until you know whose you are. Well, I'm glad somebody likes that, because it's absolutely true. You can never know who you are until you know whose you are. In fact, I wrote a book on the Holy Spirit, and I really recommend this to you. By the way, thank you for all of you who've been buying my books. It's awesome. You're really supporting my ministry. But this is how I'm going to conclude the retreat tonight. Glorious Holy Spirit, over 200 pages about who the Holy Spirit is and how you can know the Holy Spirit. And then the subtitle is Knowing Who You Are by Knowing Whose You Are. And I found in my life, once the Holy Spirit invaded my life and came into my life, I'm loved now. And I can accept myself now. And it's different from what I do, or, you know, the competition, or the car I drive, or where I live, or anything like that. In fact, if you know, I've now taken a vow of poverty. I'm a Catholic priest. And I've stripped myself of all that because that's not where it's at for me. I know who I am in Christ. You see, in Christ, you are a person of dignity, worth, and value. Now, the other things are good, education and pedigree and having relationships and things like that. Just don't let them determine your identity. Don't find your identity in those things, because I have to let you know, they're collapsing. They're fading. They're going to go away. People go, for example, you know, with the body. People go to these, health clubs, and I'm all for it. You know, do the best you can with what you got. Be healthy and all that. I work out and everything. But you have to understand that the tan's going to fade and the muscles are going to droop. And after a while, the body's going to grow old. And if you try to put your identity, and this is what happens to a lot of actresses and athletes, They're so sleek and strong and everything when they're young. Then when they get older, they don't know who they are because they don't have a foundation. My dad, years ago, my dad was a carpenter. Years ago, I used to work with him. And I mean, we'd stand there. We'd build the foundation to a house, first of all. And what we'd do is we'd dig the trench, and he'd have me there with a plumb bob, and he'd be there with a surveying tool, you know, looking at exactly, meticulously, with this foundation. I'd be there, you know, looking at my watch going, I'm getting hungry. I want to go eat. You know, let's go to lunch or something. And Dad would say, hold on, we got to do some more. Because what he taught me is this: if the foundation is out of kilter, the whole building's going to collapse. And what I'm simply proclaiming tonight is, where is your foundation? Is it in the world? Is it in things? Is it in your own performance? Is it in your body? All those things are fading. But there's one thing that endures forever, and that's what the scriptures tell us, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's the foundation that we've got to build our life on. He's the one that brings us love unconditional. And he's the foundation that helps us to accept ourselves just the way we are. Because folks, you know, we're all human, and we all struggle. But in Christ, we come to a whole new worth and value and identity. And I want to tell you, you know, many people that I talk to, we're talking about rejection now, self-rejection, feeling inadequate, feeling like you're not good enough, feeling inferior, self-esteem problems, which I said are the root of addictions. I really believe that. You know, that whole thing inside that you don't know who you are, and so you anesthetize the pain. Well, anyway, I found out that one of the most difficult places for people has to do with the body. Let's take a look at that for a minute. We all have a body. None of you chose what body you were going to get. It's a gift. Did you ever think about that? Don't blame yourself if you don't like yourself. I mean, you didn't choose it. God gave it to you. It's a gift. And let me just ask you a question. A lot of people reject themselves because of the way they look. And rightly so, I guess, because, you know, psychologists tell us something, that body image, get this, leads to self-image, which leads to self-acceptance or self-rejection. So if you don't like your body, if you have a poor body image, you're probably going to reject yourself in some way deep inside, and you'll have trouble accepting yourself. And I'll tell you, if you don't accept yourself and if you don't love yourself in a healthy way, then your life is going to be misery because you can't get away from yourself. You're always with you, everywhere you go. Whether you go to bed, you get up in the morning, you're there. So really, the body image thing. And it's very important, you know, people with their body, they struggle. So let me just ask you a question. Do you like your body? Do you like your face? Do you like your hair? Do you think you're too tall, too short, a little too heavy, a little too thin? Most people struggle on all those issues. And, you know, let's really be honest here, because I want the Spirit to do a penetrating work in you here tonight. And I want the Spirit to move in you in a way perhaps you've never felt before. And let's try to get to the root of what's going on or any walls that might be there so the walls can come down and you can be loved. You have to, what I said is, recognize your issues, admit them. And I'm telling you, this whole thing about self-rejection and body image, I think it's rampant all around, and people are struggling, and therefore they've got a lot of issues because of it. Well, let me tell you about a dangerous job that I took when I was in college. It was a very dangerous job. It was at an amusement park, and it wasn't, the amusement park was just 3 miles down the road. I lived in Massachusetts. It's called Riverside Park, and it's now been changed to Six Flags Over America. So I was there at this amusement park. And it was a dangerous job, not because I worked at a ride like the Ferris wheel or anything. I worked in the game stands. You know, baseball and basketball and bazooka. And here's the dangerous game that I worked in. It was called Guess Your Age and Weight. God was preparing me way back then to get a crowd together. And I used to be there with the microphone. Come on over, I can guess your age. Come on over, I can guess your weight. I'm just a college kid trying to earn my way through college, you know. They had all these college. Well, you know, I was pretty good at it. They kept me there for a while. You know, if you're good at it, because what happens is somebody gives you 50 cents, and if I can't get your age or your weight, then you win a glass. which was only worth about a nickel, but I wasn't the one who bought those anyway. I was just working per hour. So they tried to put good people on it so who wouldn't give away a lot of glasses. In fact, the boss would come over once in a while, how many glasses you got left? Oh, you're doing good, you know? And I mean, if you could get a crowd, people would say, oh, I bet you can't get me, and they'd walk up, you know, and everything, and there was no trick to it. But after a while, when you look at people, you get good. I mean, you know, you can size them up, and you've just about figure out, and the age thing, and let me tell you about age, you know, sometimes people have this real pure face, you know, and they look younger than what anybody thinks, but you know how you get them? The neck. The neck never lies, let me tell you. So that was one of my techniques, you know. If I saw somebody with this beautiful face, I said, let me see your neck in there. Now everybody's going to be wearing a turtleneck after a while. Here. So anyway, here's how it worked. There was a big scale there, and you know, one of these big round scales, and I had to get you within 3 pounds. So, for example, you weigh 150 pounds, and you come up, and I guess you 147. You get on the scale, and you're 150. I got you. But if you're 151, you get the glass because it's 4 pounds over, and I missed you. Okay, so I got a little bit of a spread, 6 pound spread, 3 pounds each way. But for the most part, I got to be pretty right on. So I've realized that, you know, it didn't take me long to realize people are sensitive about their weight. Especially women. I'm still glad I'm alive today to tell about this. I don't know, I remember one time there was this one woman came up and, you know, the heavier people are the harder to get. The more of you that there is, the harder it is to guess what you are. Well, anyway, this one woman, she had to have weighed 210 pounds. I said, I'm going to get this lady. And she gets up there, and I wrote down, you know, I got to write it down first, and I don't show anybody. And she gets up there, and, you know, I write down 210, you know, and she gets up there, she was like 169. How could I have missed it by that much? And so I said, great, you know, and everybody's like, yeah, what did you write down? You know, and 210. She took the glass and almost killed me with it, you know, it's like, she was so embarrassed. I'm sure she looked in the mirror and everything. Well, anyway, you know, if you think that's bad, the age is worse. You've got to get the age now within 2 years. So say you're 20 years old and I say you're 18, I got you. Or say you're 72 and I say you're 74, I got you. But if I said you're 75, you got me and you get the glass, okay? There was a woman one time. You know, and I usually, to be nice, you know, because I don't care if we give away a nickel glass, you know, just take the thing. I just want not to get killed. And there was a woman one time, you know, every once in a while I get a little bold, and I try to guess you younger than what you are, but every once in a while I get bold, and I say, I'm going to get this one. And this woman came up, and she looked like she was about 64. So, you know, okay, I put it down, and I hit it. I said, okay, how old are you? And she said, 51. And I said, go ahead, ma'am, just take the glass. She said, no, I don't. She said, what did you write down? And I said, ma'am, just take the glass. She said, now the crowd's into it. What did you write down there, buddy? You know, it's like, I wrote down 64. She didn't even take the glass. She was so upset. She just turned around and walked away. She was embarrassed, too, and I'm sure the first thing she did was went to a mirror to say, what do I look like? See, and the whole point of the story is body image leads to self-image, leads to self-acceptance or self-rejection. And I understand why people are sensitive. And they're sensitive about your bodies, and you are too, because look, you know, it's a gift from God, yet you want it to look good. You know, and you don't want to reject yourself. And, you know, speaking of age and weight, I heard this story about this young girl. She's 10 years old. She comes up to her mother. She goes, Mommy, how old are you? And the mother says, honey, don't ever ask a woman her age. And so she felt real dejected and everything. She walks away. She goes to her friend, you know what? My mommy, I tried to ask her age, and she wouldn't tell me. And the little girl says, here's all you got to do. Go to her pocketbook, get her wallet, get her driver's license, take a look at it. Tells you everything. Little girl didn't know that. She went over there. She looks at the, you know, pocketbook. She pulls out the wallet and everything. She takes a look at the license, and it says, age 38, weight 150, and then it had an F for female, and then she puts it back in there. It goes over to mommy, what, honey? I know how old you are. And she says, look, didn't I tell you to quit asking me the age? Mommy, you're 38 years old. How did you know that? Mommy, I know a lot of things. Oh, yeah, what else do you know? I know how much you weigh. No, you don't. Yes, I do. How much? You weigh 150 pounds. How did you know that? She goes, mommy, I know all kinds of things. Oh, yeah, what else do you know? I know why you and daddy got a divorce. Oh, yeah, why? Because you got an F in sex. Wait a minute, what are we talking about tonight anyway? The Holy Spirit, okay. When I was in high school, something really devastating happened to me. I got acne. And it's something that people don't talk a whole lot about. I was devastated emotionally. I had to go to class with these red blotches on my face. And you know, I remember one time I got one right in there. I got this big Roman nose, and I got one right here, and it shined. I felt like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, you know? And it was so hard for me to go and, you know, to face the world like that. And, you don't know the inner rejection and the self-esteem trials and problems I had because of that. And I want to say, maybe you're a teenager watching right now, and you've got acne. I mean, people think it's funny, and they laugh at it, but you know how hard it is. And I want to tell you, I'm there with you. But anyway, just to let you know, God used that acne. And I found out that, you know what, blemishes can be blessings. And flaws can lead to favor. And don't be afraid of your humanness. You know what it did to me? It deepened me. Strange, ironically enough, something on the surface of my face deepened me. And what do I mean by deepened me? I used to judge people by the way they looked, by the clothes they wear, by the car they drove, by how good, you know, the girls by how good looking they were, the guys by how athletic they were. And I never understood that there's beauty is deeper or more than skin deep. And I came to understand that, you know what, people are more than just the way they look. And then I started to get spiritual and to look deeper than beyond the skin to find the spirit. Transcendent. You see, one of the blindnesses that we can all have is about our judgments. And I started the whole retreat talking about, or I started last night talking about the blindness, the blind man. Well, about our judgments, about people and about things. And what I came to discover is that, you know what? I didn't choose to have acne. People don't choose to have arthritis or muscular dystrophy or, you know, heart troubles or any type of thing. It comes by being human. However, I believe that God will use our humanness to deepen us, if you let him. Do I thank God for my acne? No. But I thank God for the effects of it, that now I've changed. And I mean it. He used it to wake me up and to deepen me. And it's part. See, don't be afraid of your humanness, of your flaws, of your blemishes, of your, because as I said, blemishes can be blessings, flaws can lead to favor. And the world won't tell you that, just like the world will tell you you gotta be competitive, young, good looking, have a lot of money, and that's the only way you can accept yourself. But the gospel says, be grounded and rooted in the love of God. And this will change you, it will change your life, your perspective, and that's who the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit comes to help you to love yourself and accept yourself, no matter what you look like, or no matter if you're not good enough, or no matter if you didn't achieve, you have worth and value because you are a son and a daughter of the living God. And you have to not only understand that, but receive that as revelation. Let me tell you about this story about this water carrier in India. In India, there was this man who, you know how they carry water? They have this pot. They have a pot on each side, and they have a big stick or a kind of a wooden bar, and they first get the water, they put it on their shoulder, and up they go, you know, up the hill, up to the master's house. Well, this water carrier, he was down by the stream, and he take the water, and he put it in. Well, one of the pots was perfect, and it was really prideful. The other pot had a crack in it, and it was very apologetic. One day, as he's putting, you know, the water in, the crack pot started to talk to him, and he said, "I am so sorry that by the time you get up to the master's house, that I leak half that water out." And the man said to him, "I want you to take a look at the road as we go up." So he fills it up with water, brings him up, and sure enough, half the water leaks out. He pours the water up into the trough by the master's house, and then he goes all the way back down, and he's going to get some more water. And once again, the thing says, "I am so sorry for the fact that I can't even give you all the water." And he said, "Did you notice along the side of the road what was there?" And the pot said, "Yeah, I did." He said, "What was it?" "It was beautiful, beautiful, colorful flowers." He said, "Good, I'm glad you noticed, because I want to tell you something. I knew that you had a flaw, that you had a crack in you, and that the water was leaking out. So what I did is I planted seeds only upon your side. And what you were doing, I took advantage of your flaw. What you were doing is, when I took you up all the time, you were watering those flowers. You were making them grow. And now I cut them and I put them on the master's table to beautify his house. You see, because of your flaws, you brought beauty and glory to the master. As I look out at you, you know what I see? A bunch of crackpots." This is on TV, I know, it's crazy. And I want to tell you, don't be afraid of your humanness. Moses stuttered, did you know that? Moses stuttered. Jeremiah thought he was too young. Paul had a thorn in the flesh. Maybe it was acne, who knows? He keeps talking about it, that was slapping him in the face, literally. And you see, God chooses the weak in the world to shame the strong. And I'm simply giving you permission tonight not to be perfect. I think perfectionism is probably one of the worst diseases that you can have. And what it does is it makes you feel inadequate and inferior and not good enough. And then you start beating yourself up. Then, as I said, it starts leading to addictions and shopping and gambling and overeating. Then you hate yourself even more. The Spirit comes with love, remember, liquid love, to embrace you and to love you and to help you. And so that you will know that you are loved just the way you are. Many people today are looking for their identity in things, in money, in relationships, in education, in success, in performance, and that's not going to do it. That is all going to crumble. Tonight, I pray, and I pray for you at home. Please bow your heads and pray for God's blessing. I pray that you will receive the truth that God lives in you. That this truth, this love, will revolutionize your life. That you will be able to face any fears. That you will respect yourself, love yourself, and have a healthy self-esteem. If there's anybody here who has been abused, may you experience healing and go forward. If you have rejected yourself because of the way you look, may you love yourself in a new way. And if you failed in some way, maybe your children have left the faith or you haven't achieved what you thought you wanted to achieve, may you allow yourself to be human and to know that God loves you just the way you are. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, be filled with the Holy Spirit and with God's love, and may your lives never be the same. Almighty God bless you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
You've reached the end of this teaching.
We believe you enjoyed Father Cedric's teaching. It is our heartfelt hope that these programs will intensify your relationship with God and you will sense a new surge of strength in your life. Father Cedric has many resources, audio CDs, DVDs of his television programs, as well as several books to help you in your spiritual journey. Please log on to www.frcedric.org or call 321-474-0997. That's www.frcedric.org. Don't just live, live with passion.